Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Twin the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm
Dad.
I'm Dad.
And I'm also Dad.
And together we're
Dad and Dad.
Dad and Dad. I was going to say two dads.
Two dads.
That's got other meanings.
Together we're dads.
And together we are pluralized.
Pluralized.
Dad plural.
Single person can never be plural.
This is my impersonation of a progressive bigot on International Women's Day. Okay? You ready? Okay. Yeah, but when's International Non-Binary Person's Day?
I think there is a day for that.
I know. Yeah.
But that is it a man bigot or is it a non-binary bigot?
I have a feeling it's still probably a heterosexual male.
Yeah.
A man.
Yeah.
But their heart's in the right place.
Is there a non-bigotry? Is that a thing? I'm non-bigotry.
I'm non-bigotry.
Yeah, but it's when you are a bigot, but you
refuse to be bigoted against any particular side.
No, but you don't. You're not allowed. You feel like you identify as somebody who can't be called bigoted.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah, women always think I'm bigoted. It's especially them. And actually, I'm not. I'm non-bigoted. Non-biggery. Non-bigotry.
Women always wrongly identify me as bigoted. They misagender me. They think I have a bigoted agenda.
They misagender me. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's it. You found a way to make it actually fit. Do you think this is write downable?
I think it's write downable. I think a progressive bigot.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's a broad enough term that you can't. It's very difficult to argue that it's not a sketch idea. Right. It's so ill-defined. We've provided so little detail.
If this was a 100th episode, I would absolutely write it down no matter what.
I think I would have forced you to write down four or five different ideas within this one, nested ideas.
Yeah.
This isn't just an idea. This is a
said,
whole
universe. That's a sketch idea.
Cinematic universe of ideas.
I just saw a fly. That's a sketch idea.
Alistair, why would you sort of even muddy the pool? Or why would you even start to suggest that these things might not be sketch ideas? We're so close to episode 400.
Andy, I know, but we're not there.
we need to be doing everything we can.
And one of the satisfying things of listening back to these fucking idiotic ideas, to this thing, is that you go, well, at least they are ideas. Because what's the point? What's the point of doing it? If we're going to come up with 400 non-ideas. You know what I mean? they sat there and they just didn't come up with ideas and they wrote things down that weren't ideas.
They sat there and they didn't come up with ideas, but the ideas they didn't come up with, there were 400 of them.
Yeah. You know, just like...
The things that they came up with. I mean, it's crazy to think that it'd be possible to come up with something that isn't an idea. But it's the sketch nature of the idea that is the crucial distinction, right? Right.
Did you go to a beach today? Sorry, you had an idea.
Why did you say that? What made you say that?
I saw a photograph of you on a beach.
Ah, very interesting, Alistair. Your reasoning, very sound. Your conclusion, accurate. But unfortunately, the photograph that you saw of me at a beach was not the beach that me at the beach that I went to today. That was me at a different beach that I went to previously.
Well, you must have looked horrible today that they couldn't post the photo of you from today's beach visit.
I mean, I'm not convinced that I looked all that good in the beach visit that you did see the photograph of. But
well, I'm not sure if
I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you did look good in that photograph. What I am saying is that the one from today looked worse.
No, but I don't recall what you looked like. But my memory of it is that you looked like a silhouette. So there's a chance that
That's my best look right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the silhouette look, that could be a good, exciting new...
Silhouette, wet in the beach.
I had a silhouette dream. Let's not pursue that one.
Is that when you come out black stuff while you sleep?
But it's all shadow.
It sounds like a joke, but actually it's a terrible thing. He's ejaculated a shadow. And now the shadow follows his crotch around.
Oh, no. It's a total eclipse.
Oh. Total eclipse of the crotch.
The crotch.
You know, imagine that, though. If you had, like... Do you think that there's a way, like... What would that be if you just had like hovering shadow in over an area?
Well, that would be a cock block situation, wouldn't it?
It would be, yes, but only cock light block.
Well,
it wouldn't block the whole cock, would it? Unless you couldn't get through the shadow.
If you could somehow achieve that, and you could have a hovering crotch shadow,
yeah,
would that allow you to go out naked into the world while maintaining your decency and not exposing yourself?
Do you think, have you got ass shadow too? Is it as thick as clothing? Is that how thick the shadow is?
I don't know how thick the shadow is.
Because, you know, when I look at a shadow often, I can see the pavement underneath.
Well, but if it's a full eclipse, like, you know, when the moon eclipses the sun, right, you can't see the moon, okay? And you can't see the sun. Yeah. But I guess in that case, it's an object is in the way.
There is a moon,
so really we're
in
just
the
back
way.
To basically clothes,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's not just a
shadow.
It's not a cock eclipse.
It would be good to be able to have that pure kind of shadow.
Eh?
When can you get a pure shadow? I suppose the reason you don't get a pure shadow and the reason that you can still see the pavement, even when there's a shadow on the pavement, Alistair, to use your... beautiful example, if you don't mind.
Yes. Please.
Is that the light is being reflected and refracted from different locations and bouncing. It's finding alternative pathways.
That's what it is. My goodness, it is that.
The pavement, which is itself a pathway, right? But if you were in a situation where what would you have to have? You'd have to have a really linear kind of light, like a laser light almost behind you that was casting the shadow.
So let's say that, so in a world where the sun emits only laser light.
Oh, this is a great science fiction concept. Laser sun.
Laser sun. Okay.
And you're in a world, in this world, shadows are pure darkness.
And so, wait, how are we, this is, you know, because it's two such big concepts.
Yeah,
it's a laser sun.
That's what's so great about it.
It's a laser sun and a hovering cock-like shadow.
I'm being hovered by a cock shadow.
Shadow. Yes. So is this cock shadow? You think that it maybe it's like an alien that's somehow trolling you from somewhere between the sun and your cock. It's they've sent out a drone or something like that. And all it does is it makes sure that your cock is never visible.
Oh, this is great. And you're always trying to show it to people.
Yeah.
Right? Potential beloveds. And whenever you do, the little alien blocks it out and it just looks like a patch of pure darkness. And so the would-be lover thinks that there's nothing there but an unspeakable void. And you're like, what do you think of this? You don't. You think you're showing your genitalia, right? Your front genital, but it's not until because you wouldn't notice the presence of the shadow. You don't feel a shadow being cast upon you.
No, of course not.
Because you don't feel the sun.
Well, you might not. Yeah, you might just feel a cold patch because of that nice warm laser sunlight.
The laser sun. I mean, this is also a world in which there are no artificial sources of light.
Yes, it would have to be day all the time.
It's day all the time. And I think all objects
and
have got to
no
be...
And maybe no indoors.
There's no indoors as well.
Well, yes. maybe there's indoors, but there's... Yeah, but there's no artificial light indoors. And so it's pitch dark inside.
Exactly, right? And you say, maybe you're in the dark there, in the darkness, fondling with your beloved, and you say... You're going to want to get a look of this to them. Let's step outside.
Yeah. Right? It's amazing that he's ever seen it. But I guess they probably...
Yeah, well, the alien, I guess, knows when it's just you alone.
Yeah. Right? Also, he lets you see your own cock.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. And that's part of the prank, right?
But you know what's good is that...
yeah.
All you have to have done...
This
right?
is a great sketch idea, by the way.
All that you have to have done is pissed off the alien once, and then he programmed a droid or a drone to just do this. And it's just an algorithm that he had to put in. Mm-hmm. He probably could voice do it. He'd go, droid, just block out the laser sunlight from this guy's cock like that. Mm. But what do you think that he would have done to piss off the alien?
Mm.
You know? Like so I guess this is a multi-planetary kind of hub, this planet.
Sure.
You know, maybe even a spaceport,
you know, maybe it's
a galaxy hub.
It's the crossroads of major trading routes.
This is the Box Hill of
great analogy.
Yeah, I can't think of Box Hill actually being a great hub, but...
But it does have that crossroads, right, on Alexandra Parade.
It does have a crossroads.
It has that big, complicated crossroads.
Yeah, that does seem like a... Imagine being the person who designs a fucked crossroad.
Oh.
Anyway, let's not lose our focus. What has pissed off this alien? Okay, so aliens come through... Because it doesn't have to be much. It could almost be, a Seinfeld style insult.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
I thought of a great episode of Seinfeld the other day. Right.
Yeah.
This is for modern Seinfeld. Right. George discovers that his therapist has a podcast. Okay.
Mm.
Where his therapist has been talking about George. Okay, on the podcast. Right. Mocking George's
That's good, yeah.
things that he's revealed. Elaine, she has the same therapist, okay? And she listens to the entire... She stays up all night. She's all frazzled, listening to the entire back catalogue of the podcast. And the therapist has never talked about Elaine on the podcast. Mm. And Elaine's really upset because she's been giving him gold, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, right?
Yeah.
And... I think ultimately somehow Jerry ends up going as a guest on the podcast, right? Is invited on to talk about this.
Yep.
And then there's got to be something with Jerry's girlfriend, but I haven't worked out what that is yet. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I really like it a lot.
Right.
Yeah, I've written it down. Psych podcast Seinfeld ep. I mean, you know, we could... I feel like you could have a show within a show that is a fake Seinfeld. That is never really real Seinfeld. It's like alien Seinfeld or something like that.
That's a really good idea.
Because I think it's a good touchstone that everybody's seen it. Everybody knows it. And it's almost its own format. Like we're writing trivia questions at the moment. And they have said specifically, don't write any Seinfeld questions because they are the... like they're like, you know, like we've had enough and they are like the... I can't remember what word they use, but they essentially like, it's like the meat and potatoes, but also the dead end of trivia questions. And also in the last day, I saw that you wrote a Seinfeld question.
Did I? Yeah. I'm not sure that I saw that that was the thing that we weren't allowed to write about. So there you go. But thanks for bringing this up.
No problem. Well, I was going to message you. I was going to message you. And then I thought, well, Andy doesn't need to worry about this on his weekend.
And then, but yeah, then, it's definitely too late. I've already sent that shit in.
It's
but what they should do...
50 now, p.m.
I feel
on
like Seinfeld should be in the... They should release the source code to Seinfeld. You know, like Elon did with Twitter or whatever. Banjo. Sorry about my dog. And then we can all tinker with it and we can all make our own Seinfeld episodes at home.
Yeah.
You know, just by tweaking the source code slightly.
Do you think you could make Seinfeld episodes just by using your own family?
I mean, sure.
If they release it, let's say they just release the rights.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
And then do you think that
anyone can make one?
Like, because this is a sketch in a way. It's like they release the rights to Seinfeld into the public domain. And suddenly you go to dinner at your family's house. And your mom is suddenly, she's essentially Jerry Seinfeld. And then your dad barges in through the door and he's Kramer. Right? And then your sister comes in and she's George. And you come in and you start saying things and you realize that you're Elaine. And somehow not only is it, and you realize that these people aren't doing this on purpose, something has been released that you're actually stuck in some timeline, even though subconsciously or like conscious, you're aware that you don't necessarily want to be saying these things. Like kind of like when you know, you feel yourself yelling at your kids and you're like, why do I don't care about this. You know, this stuff actually doesn't matter. And then suddenly you're going, don't do it. It's because of this and this, because you've, and you're like, oh no, I don't want to be saying this. This doesn't matter. But you're in a path.
But there's just some kind of programming that's in your body that you didn't even consciously realize was there. Right. But it's some sort of social thing that you've been indoctrinated into, and now you're propagating it, replicating it to the next generation.
Yeah.
And in the same way that the Seinfeld programming that's in all of us has been activated, maybe by a code word. Maybe it's not that the intellectual property of was released into the public domain. Maybe it leaked out into the public domain.
Yeah, and then they just said that it was released so that it seemed like it was on purpose, you know.
But it got into the water supply.
Yeah, it was an actual lab leak.
Yeah.
There was a screenwriting lab in LA that was doing...
Right. Is that where the LA and lab comes from?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
And that we're doing some really advanced tests on Seinfeld.
Audience testing.
Yeah, audience testing. And on, you know, because it's already such a beloved show, and they were trying to find ways if it could even get embedded in people's minds even more.
Well, they'd managed to turn it into a liquid.
Right. Yeah, it didn't have to be a script anymore.
Yeah. And then at the end, someone who was cleaning up unthinkingly poured the Seinfeld liquid down the sink. Right?
They thought, it wouldn't be a problem if I just release this into the ocean.
But it's like a forever chemical. And, yeah, it got into the water cycle.
And then you turn on the news, and the news is kind of doing a... it's kind of doing like a Seinfeld thing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Today on the news, Seinfeld has been released. You seen this?
Is this giant? Is that Seinfeld? Is that how Seinfeld?
I don't know. Have we all seen this phenomenon? Yeah. Everybody acting like they're Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's great. I had a dream last night, Alistair. Right, you know
how too.
You revealed to me that you had a
secret comedy podcast,
secret comedy project.
Yeah.
Well, then I had a dream that I had a secret comedy project. Right.
Oh my god.
And Beck Petratus and I were putting on a sketch show.
Right? Yeah.
But it was the opening night, and I hadn't learned or possibly written any of the sketches. Right. And I was on stage just with a vague idea of what the sketch was supposed to be about, just fumbling through it and doing really, really badly. And it was going so badly that I actually died.
Oh, my God.
I remember, like, as trying to improvise my way through these sketches in a really ungainly fashion, the audience all looking at me. And I remember sort of slowly slumping to the ground and the life force leaving my body. And I remember being dead.
Wow. What was it like?
Well, it was just like this cold stillness, which is a bit, I don't know, a bit of a cliche, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's oh, how embarrassing.
But the last thing that I saw was somebody. As I fell over, I knocked over somebody's chair, and they were live streaming, and Kurt Vonnegut was watching. So the last thing I saw as I died was Kurt Vonnegut's face on this computer screen.
But they were live streaming
to Kurt Vonnegut. I guess he was like FaceTiming in to watch the show or something. Oh. Like that. And I remember I was lying there on the ground, dead, and I was looking at his face there, or his computer screen was on the side, and he was there looking me straight in the eye as I as I died.
And I suppose in real life you very much respect him?
Yeah, I really, really do.
And value his opinion on your work?
I'd been reading an article recently about how many comedy writers regard him as being so important for his.
It's so funny because last night I had a dream where I died on stage.
No.
Yeah, because last night in my dream, and it's so weird because I told Otis this morning about my dream because I very rarely remember dreams, but I was like, it was like a cabaret kind of night, burlesque kind of gig. And I was on, and I kept hearing music start to play, and I was like, oh, I think I've got to be on. And I'd go out, and there'd be an audience there, and it kind of looked a little bit like, you know, like a black box kind of UCB theater or something like that. And I'd go out, and I'd be like, oh, there's nobody else out there. Like, you know, there'd be an audience, but I'd be like, oh, I don't think I'm actually on. But then there'd be music, and so I'd start to, like, dance. And then I'd be like, oh... this is not going well. And then I'd go backstage again, and I'd go, I don't think that was my time. And then and then at some point where I definitely thought it was my turn, I went out, and I was in a slight bit more of a costume, and I started trying to wiggle. It was like, I don't know what I was wearing, but there was like more, I was wearing some brass. And I was went out and I started trying to like bounce it in funny ways and things like that. And it wasn't working with the audience. And then I went, well, there's no MC. This is crazy. Why isn't there an MC? And then my friend Pat Bircher was there, and he and I was like, what did you do? Did you perform? Did you do stand up? And he goes, yeah. And I went,
oh, I should have done stand up.
I should have done stand up.
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, is there a sort of a comedy version of stripping, right?
Mm.
Where you just show people various different funny bits of your body, right? And I'm not talking about puppetry of the penis, right? But like, think of, if you think of stand-up as being revealing things about your personality and your life, right? I'm thinking of a stripping version of that, where you just go up and you show people the funniest bits of your body, right? And they presumably laugh, right? And then, like, you know, as a performer, I guess you'd always be sort of trying to find new funny bits of your body, right, to show to the audience.
Totally.
And, you know, whenever somebody discovered a new funny bit of the body, all the other comics who all do the same kind of thing, they'd be so devastated, be like, ah. Oh, the arsehole. Why didn't I think of that?
Of course, the arsehole. Yeah. So they're just finding regular bits of the body. It's not like you have bits of the body that are in some way, you know, interesting in themselves. Like, you've got a dimple on your butt cheek or something like that. It's just choosing which body part to show. You go, oh, index finger.
No, you're right. I mean, I think some people could have funnier bodies than others. Right, and they would have unique, strange things about them that might make people laugh. Yeah. Then you'd be, you know, this is nothing, Alistair.
The stripping, but you just show.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, your idea is almost the hokey pokey, but if it was a full performance, in a comedy performance.
Mm.
Because the shaking it all about bit, I think that's the bit that would be funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But,
like, if you could put one butt cheek in and then take one butt cheek out.
Yeah.
And then shake it all about. I'm not sure what that's supposed to be. Did you know what the point of the hokey pokey is? Is it just a dance, or is it sort of meaningful? Is it a political statement in some way?
I don't know. You put one foot in, you put one foot out, you put one foot in, you shake it all about. It doesn't feel very political to me.
No,
and that's what I like about it, I think. I prefer my art to be non-political.
Do you?
Did you see this guy's list of things that make good art? Some, you know, it was just a thing that went a bit viral of, like, some right-wing guy, right? Basically being like, we all know that postmodernists, they're trying to make anything art, and they're trying to say that there's no difference between good art and bad art, which I don't think people are saying, but anyway.
Yeah.
But let's say we are saying that, right? So he's come up with a list of 15 things that make something good art, or the 15 differences between good art and bad art, right? And number one, these are the kinds of, I'm never sure about these kinds of things, whether the guys are like, I'm going to put something out there that's deliberately bad and, like, makes me look like the biggest idiot possible so that it gets engagement and I grow my fan base or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, the replies to this seem to be, you know, there seem to be a lot of guys saying, yeah, man, you're exactly right. So, I don't know. But the first thing it said was about feelings, right? Good art makes you feel energized and powerful, but bad art makes you feel weird. <That's>
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you could not have come up with a stupider opening concept. that makes it like feels like you're doing self-parody or ridicule.
Yeah.
Of like these guys who don't get anything.
Yeah. Good food tastes good, makes your tongue taste feel good. Bad food makes your tongue feel tingly.
I mean, but that seems way more valid.
I know.
What you just said.
I know.
But, the idea that, like, but I'm also like, I but almost completely disagree. Yeah. Surely making people feel weird is the
beginning of
thing for art to achieve.
Yeah, it's one of the points is that it's like, oh, potentially it will make you feel feelings that you've never felt before.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't like it. I went and looked at a whole lot of art, and it made me feel weird. It must be bad art.
Yuck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to anyone who came to the gallery today. If you felt weird afterwards, we've just discovered that we had a batch of bad art in there. It should clear up after 24 hours. But please see a doctor if you continue to feel weird.
I think there's a funny idea in the batch of bad art.
Yeah, okay. that health authorities have released a warning or something.
Yeah.
After a gallery was found to have mistakenly been stocked with bad art or a batch of bad art. And anyone who attended the Ravenscroft Gallery between...
We've just realised a bunch of this art had gone bad about 3 weeks ago, but we hadn't been told.
We hadn't thrown it out.
We hadn't been given an accurate best before date.
Well, that is interesting. Should there be a best before date on art? Now that we are in this age of, cancel culture and...
Definitely not.
Sorry?
I said definitely not.
No, but I'm suggesting that it should be.
Oh no! But you said you weren't suggesting; you were asking, and you gave me the power to answer, and I made my answer.
Well, I regret that. Right?
Yes.
I'm saying there should be use by dates on all art, right? And if you get offended by a piece of art more than 10 years after it was released, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever time, that's your fault for consuming it after the best before date.
It feels like one of those kind of almost bullshit, like right-wing American things where they'd be like, we need to put best before dates, expiry dates on art, and we need to take expiry dates off of food. No one should be able to tell me when food is bad. I'll tell you when it's bad.
Yeah, but would they say that? Because they also don't like the idea of revising old art, right? They don't like the idea of going back to, you know, Roald Dahl's books or whatever and saying
they don't
that these
like
are...
revising art that agrees with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But if the correct art is in any way communist or something like that,
sure.
Isn't it crazy how, like, have you seen Oppenheimer?
No, I haven't, no.
But just, like, Americans are obsessed with communism.
They really are. It's crazy.
It's like, you even at some point entertain the idea of hanging out with communists.
Yeah. And our constitution, which explicitly states that you're allowed to do that, it's right up there at the top. But I don't think any of them know what it means either, right? Well, like, sorry, I'm not saying not any of them, but a lot
none
of them.
None of them know.
Don't really understand what it is. I guess it's sort of, it's just another thing like saying woke or whatever.
What about this? A country that is communist. But
have you written down my use by dates, best before dates on art
idea, by the way? I've got batch of bad art.
No, well, this is a different concept.
Yeah.
Best before okay. dates on it. I think it's a genuinely interesting idea.
Yeah, right. Right? Okay.
That like, and I don't think it's necessarily a right-wing point of view. I think it could have merit, and I haven't thought it through because I only just thought of it now on the podcast.
Well, it would create more of a turnover on art.
No, but I'm not saying that you can't have the art, right? No. The old art can still exist,
yeah.
right? But it is like buying expired food. If you look at it, if you watch a film from the 80s or whatever, you do so at your own risk of like, there are going to be stuff in here that is not going to be to everyone's taste.
You're right. Yeah.
Maybe that. Yeah.
No. I think you're right. It's just, I mean, I was thinking of it because I was trying to like, you know, extrapolate, and I was trying to think of me, because, you know, all the galleries are filled with such old art.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
And you'd be like, it'd be actually great for young artists if there was.
And you're right. I think it would be funny to see them going through the NGV and chucking out all the Picassos because they're so old and they've gone bad.
Yeah,
and
maybe
they're just in a skip out the back.
Feeding them to pigs.
You feed them to pigs? You show them to pigs. You put them in a skip out the back. What do you get?
Oh,
you hang them up in.
Yeah, we've exhibited them to pigs.
These are only fit to be exhibited to swine.
To swine. And there's this beautiful white room that the pigs are walking around.
Oh, it's still a nice gallery, isn't it? It's still well presented.
The Guggenheim Swine Gallery. Wow.
Guggenheim already sounds like something.
The Guggen Swine.
Thank you very much. Guggenheimer. That's Oppenheimer. Wait.
I don't know why, but the first goo is G-O-O.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't help that much, but...
Doesn't help. And it needs help, and that's
it
not
It needs
helping.
A lot of help. I mean, I think the fucking... it's... I mean, this
Do
has
you
to go,
get
I guess,
a lot of hippies, a lot of, you know, people dumpster diving and getting the art out of the... out of the bins and taking it back to their place. So they've got Guernica. They've got the Weeping Woman.
Yeah.
Up on the wall of their squat.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Are
they getting sick off it?
Yeah, they're getting mental... Yeah, they're getting fucking mental sickness. They're getting mental salmonella or whatever.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What would be like, what is an example of your brain vomiting, like a mental illness, like the vomiting version of mental illness? You know, I mean, it's
the vomiting version of mental illness.
It has
would
to not
be
crying.
Psychosis?
No, something has to come out.
Something has to come out.
Like,
right.
I guess mania. No, mania is kind of a thing where you kind of start to, you know, you. Is it called pressured speech? It's a thing to look for, you know, when somebody starts to go into a mania. I think it's called pressured speech when you start speaking very more quickly.
Right.
And let's see.
With an
pressured speeches is often a sign of mania or hypomania. That's when your energy levels or mood is very high and it's linked to bipolar disorder.
Right. Well, we already have the concept of verbal diarrhea, right? So, I mean, do we want to utilize that here?
Verbal vomit? Yeah, I don't know. It'd be good. It'd just be like something that you had absorbed earlier, probably like bad art, ends up coming out and then is no longer in your mind.
Does it come out as criticism? Does it come out as an essay?
But if it comes out as something that is suddenly, it's no longer in your memories after that.
Right, oh, I see. You sort of purged it all out in this sort of frenzy, like how
It's probably
Stephen
like
King like, wrote the Cujo.
Yeah, he doesn't remember how it happened.
I don't think he remembers writing it.
It's probably just some like, you know, it's some blackout situation. You get the memories out. It's it probably is just like roofies or something like that. But I don't know if it's like a, you know. You know how the brain can release endorphins. At some point, it can release a roofie.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
You know what? A self-roofie. A self-roofieing scenario.
Oh, the brain actually secretes roofies.
It's actually a very natural chemical. That's why I take it every day. I'll microdose roofies. So I don't remember any of my life.
Hmm.
What would that do if you just, if you microdosed roofies every day? So that it's not that, it's, I mean, it's, I guess it would allow you to have, but you want it below the psychoactive area. But like, instead of giving you a spring in your step or whatever they say, you know, microdosing LSD does or whatever, this would give you a bit of a like, it would make you feel like very relaxed and unconscious. But you would still
I think the risk with microdosing roofies is that you would forget how much you had taken. Or you would forget that you'd already taken your dose of roofie. Sure. You say, oh, look, I was going to start microdosing roofies today, but I went to get it out of the cupboard and it's all gone. Somebody's taken it.
Somebody's taken all my roofies. Then it turns out it's just your brother or something like that, and it's just
it's just an awful situation.
Yeah, what would be a good reason to roofie your parents, not your parents and parents?
Let's see, elder like, abuse.
No, yeah, I suppose it is elder abuse, but like, but imagine like roofing your parents so that you could have like a like. I guess if you had never had a loving experience with your parents. And you
what about
like,
if you just wanted to tell them exactly what you really, you wanted to unload all of your, you know, unburden yourself of all of your childhood hang-ups and everything that you want to blame them for and be angry about. Maybe they'd consent to this, right? Maybe this would be a new kind of therapy.
Because parents are often very, like, they're very, sorry about interrupting, but they're often... you know, they don't want to be blamed for all your problems and that kind of stuff like that. And so they're resistant. And you say, well, we've come up with this new form of therapy where I give you a roofie, each of you. And then I tell you everything. So I feel like I've told you. I get to get it out. It's a bit of a mental, what was the thing we were just talking about? It's essentially a mental vomit.
Yeah, and then so you dump all of that on them, and then the next day they've forgotten everything, but you're walking a little bit lighter in your shoes. I think it's a funny idea. I think it's a great thing to put into a fucked up sitcom, right? The idea that somebody wants to confront their parents about something, but they can't bear then continuing to have a relationship with their parents with the knowledge of what they've confronted them with. And so they slip a roofie into their parents' apple pie or whatever, get it all out after dinner, and then the next day the parents don't remember anything. Either that or somebody accidentally roofies their parents, right, on the day that they're planning to come out to them, I guess. They go through this whole thing, big emotional thing. It's all great. It was very painful, but it all happens. And then the parents forget it all, and they have to do it all again.
Sure. Also, they accidentally roofie their parents before revealing something important. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rufy before... Oops, sorry, my page
important
is bent over. Before
confrontation or revelation.
And so have to do it again. Yeah.
All over again.
But I think I also like the idea of just doing it like where they also agree, because I think it is funny where they also agree and they're like, you know, they need to get it out, but and we don't really want to hear it.
Yeah, you know? You're right. That is funny.
You know, because
maybe the parents deliberately take the roofie.
Yeah.
Without telling the child. They're like, oh no, we want to know. Yeah, tell us everything.
Definitely.
We can handle it. And we're going to be all right with it.
What did you guys just take?
Nothing. Tell us all your problems. We care.
Yeah.
But we promise this. Also, we promise this won't change the way we treat you. At all. Wink, wink.
That's funny.
It'll be like you never said it at all.
That's funny.
I mean, what if you found out that someone in your life had been taking a roofie before every time they catch up with you, right?
And so and you only notice because they only refer back to one experience that you had together in high school or something.
Yeah, but I guess they really don't like you, but they want to continue maintaining the connection for some reason. They can't bear to break off the friendship. They don't want to be the person who does that. But they also don't want to know anything about you. They don't want to have anything about you occupying space in their head.
I guess they
loathe you.
This is like there's a whole series in this. Like, you know, like, I mean, as in, in the whole series, you just see innovative ways in which people are using roofies in everyday life.
I think that is great. I think maybe it's the Roofie Corporation has produced this a short instructional film, right, with a series of vignettes showing the ways
the Roofie Corporation
in which roofies could be used that aren't so. You know, I mean, they're a family company. I think the founder is probably devastated about the bad connotations that their product has had.
Of course, yeah. The
right?
Martin
and they're trying
and Marge
to...
roofie.
Yeah.
They're actually, yeah, they're probably devastated by the ways, that the chemical has usually been used.
Mm.
And they were just a family business that were started on a farm. And they would mill up the roofie plant.
The roofie root.
They were just roofie. Yeah, the roofie root. They would just, you know, they would grow and grind it. And, you know,
for generations.
Used to just be pressed with sawdust or whatever. And over time,
some say the secret ingredient is the love. The active ingredient is the care.
The thing that holds the pill together is love. But actually, later on, it became just sort of regular pill bonding
agent. Yeah. What is that? What are pills made out of? What is that stuff? Marzipan?
No, I don't think it has to do its food.
No.
A lot of it doesn't tastes in a very, it tastes very chemically.
Yes, as we've discussed on a couple of recent podcasts, apparently. Yeah. God, do we take a roofie before each episode?
Yeah,
because
well,
I
feel like
not
these
remember.
Episodes are roofies for us.
But that's good. That's good, Alistair. Surely we've got five ideas of some kind.
There's five ideas here. I just need to go and get... to go get this other idea. But in the meantime, I texted my friend R.I.P. King, because Mohammed Al-Fayed passed away. I had a very vivid memory of my friend laughing at this, and I didn't know who it was, but my friend laughed at when I told
the Ali G show,
the Ali G thing about Mohammed Al-Fayed being on there, and he seemed to know who Mohammed Al-Fayed was at the time, and I did not. But I mentioned it to him, and he was like, Mohammed Al-Fayed was on there. And so I texted him R.I.P. King and a link to when he was rapping.
Yep.
And he was like, oh my God, I thought Sacha Baron Cohen had died because of this. Anyway.
So do you think that if Sacha Baron Cohen did die, you'd be texting links to his work on the Ali G show saying R.I.P. King to your friends?
I think so, yeah, of the Mohammed Al-Fayed.
They call him Mohammed Al-Fayed. Is that right? That's how it went, right?
I think so, yeah. Al-Fayed. Yeah, that was the whole thing. Okay, so today... oh my God, my brain is not functioning. I'm just trying to think. It's Braden. Braden sent in three words today. Should we do three words from a listener?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think it's an exciting new segment.
Well, it's because Braden sent it in through the Discord, and then his name's not Braden through the Discord. So then I have to remember names, you know.
I think his name is Dick on the Discord. Is that right?
I think no, it's Not a Shark.
Oh, right. Okay, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So... here we go. Okay, wait. Three words for you, good sir. Okay, are you ready?
This feels like you're filling, but yeah, I am ready.
Yeah. Okay, what's the first word? Can you want to guess what the first word?
The first word is snooty.
Wrong. Snooty. almost wrong, wrong, may wrong, have wrong, no wrong. No letters even at all in common. No, almost no conceptual links to this. tepid is the
is this
first
the
word.
Most wrong I've ever been?
It could be.
Snoot tepid. And tepid. Okay. Okay, the second word. Okay, hang on. Tepid. Okay, tepid. So tepid means mild temperature, just like inoffensive kind of temperature. So what's the thing? It would either be okay. Tepid superconductor.
Oh, you
tepid superconductor
on a terrible path, Andy. Tepid aphid.
Tepid aphid. You know what? That was my first instinct, was to go with the id thing. So I was going to go vapid. Was going to be my first guess.
Yeah.
So is it tepid aphid vapid?
Andy, it is tepid aphid atrocious. Much like your guesses.
That's really fucked up what you just did there, Braden.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
That's sick.
It is sick. Wow. So, okay, let's see. Tepid aphid atrocious.
So aphids obviously are those little bugs. Yeah. They crawl over your crops, right? Your tomatoes and stuff, and they eat the shoots. And
they're always kind of an interesting shape. They're kind of like a...
they've got big butts, right?
Well, or do their butts come to a point?
Oh, maybe that's true, yeah.
Because it kind of feels like they're like a squared-off heart shape.
Interesting.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, but are they also the ones that produce that milk that those ants... farm and then the
ants. I think that could be possible, yeah. Oh, they're a horrible bug. I don't like looking at them.
Have we experimented with that milk? I mean, you think about ants and what they're able to achieve and how much stronger they are than their relative to their body mass.
It could be like spinach to Popeye.
Yeah, it could be like, you know, bodybuilders, conceivably, we could get bodybuilders. If they're already drinking colostrum or whatever,
they're
and if they're possibly interested in royal jelly, We're going to get them onto aphid milk. You think the ant is relative to it, it can lift 20 times its own body mass or whatever. That's what we're going to sell.
Yeah, I mean, and get it as an option for your coffee.
Yeah, great. And I think we're going to be... I think one of the things that the guy... the analogies that one of the guys made in his art thing was talking about good art as like a bulletproof coffee. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Those but people, look, they're on a, such a weird level. Like, I saw one the other day, and it was one of the, it was one of these kinds of guys, right?
Mm.
And it's three guys, and I think they were trying to say, they were in a video, and they were trying to say, like, we should shame women for, like, having sex with lots of people, right? And, you know, like, let's say you're, like, a quality man. You got a nice watch. You got a Bugatti, right?
Yeah.
And that straight away, just the idea that that's their version of what a quality man is.
No.
There's two possessions that they own that makes them a quality man. You could be born a quality man.
Yeah. Is this anything? Times have been tough recently. I've had to be living out of my Bugatti.
I mean, it is something.
I'm showing guys my watch in the street for $50.
Even that works as an investment. Isn't it crazy?
Like, what do you mean?
Like the idea that, I guess, that the idea is that you would be showing your dick to people for $5.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But like the idea that your watch still, you know, it still works as an investment even when you're poor, super poor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. What were we talking about?
I mean, that's
guy?
Fun. That's really good. Wait, living out of your.
I'm
doing it tough.
Mm.
Tough living.
Bugatti. That's when you have an extra room above your Bugatti.
It's the area between the ceiling of the Bugatti
and the roof.
And the roof.
The Bugatti.
Going to the Bugatti.
I wanted to suggest that if we are milking aphids and selling it to bodybuilders, it would be great to have a scene of aphid ranchers, right? And I guess they're riding their horses around their aphid herd, right? Billions and billions of swarming aphids, but you can't see any of them, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. But they're cracking their whips, and then maybe they're also they see spot an injured aphid somewhere in the herd, and they have to lasso it, right? Truss it up, right? Bring it into the compound.
Yeah, you guys. Sorry, if there's an injured one, it attracts ladybugs, and I've lost enough stock to those bastards.
Yeah, that's really good. Ladybugs, all dead ladybugs tied up to the fence line.
Yeah.
Hanging. Yeah, he's got a ladybug tail on the back of his hat.
He's got a big what? Oh, yeah. Like a set of ladybug testicles hanging at the back of his pickup truck.
Yeah.
You can't see him, but... is there, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but you know, like people refer to breasts as milkers. Is that a thing?
I have heard that. Yes. I think that's another bit of a right wing thing.
Big
maybe.
Mommy milkers, maybe.
Mm.
But I don't know why, but it's just her bras filled with aphids and they're producing milk and she just can squeeze them. You know, I got a pump. I guess this is like a right wing person's idea of what a left wing person would do.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, because they're, you know, often they go on about like, they're going to make us eat bugs.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, their breasts are, their bras are filled with aphids. They're going to milk them and feed it to your young. Oh, you know what I was going to do? I was going to do this episode as a character. Oh, I was like, oh, we've only got a few. I was like, I thought we've only got a few episodes left before the end of the, you know, season three.
Mm.
You know, up to four or five or something like that, depending on how long it takes us before we actually get to the 400th episode. So I thought maybe I could start doing them as characters. I make a split decision in the first few seconds of the episode who I'm going to be.
Wow.
You know, I thought that would really mix, you know, shake things up.
Yeah, anyway. That's great. I remember on the second episode ever of Two in the Think Tank, I said, I was thinking about bringing in some, you know, some notes, and you said, "No, we're not going to do that."
Oh yeah, you can't bring in notes.
But you can. But you can just do an episode as a character.
But a note sounds pre-prepared.
Well, I was just going to be some prompts, you know, some things I thought might be something.
No, but you don't think that
you doing the episode as a character is more of a deviation from the format than me having a couple of notes of ideas? I mean,
the whole thing that we've been saying the whole time is you got to come up with your ideas on pod. And then
this is only in episode two. You already had such a firm idea of what you wanted the podcast to be.
Well, I mean, I didn't
We've never done that.
The idea that we would create homework seemed insane. Like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, no.
And create a precedent. I had to shut it down, Andy.
Yeah.
Going crazy with just like you were on the high from the first episode. We probably tried to record the second episode right after we recorded the first episode. You're like, yeah, that's it. I'm going to do heaps of work. I'm going to bring in notes. I'm going to have paragraphs.
It was heady days. It was a real gold rush, rush. Two episodes a week for the first couple of months, I think.
Yeah.
And then 5 years off. Alistair.
Should I just take a look? A long time. Have we come up with Braden's idea?
Aphid
milkers?
Yeah. The aphid farmers, I think, and the aphid farmers thing.
I'll just write it down properly, aphid farmers, because you don't want it to be the big breasts that are filled with aphids, right?
Well, to me, that didn't feel like it has clear an idea, and I'm sorry to say that, Alistair.
I know, but like, I don't have much, Andy. You understand?
I'm not taking it away from you.
I know, but you also understand that. I think that ideas that don't have much are actually more. They have more than the ideas that have a lot.
I feel like you feel like that about your ideas that don't have much.
No, that's true. You're right.
I feel like you feel like ideas that don't have much
what was your idea
have
at
a
the
lot
beginning?
Less.
Yeah, yeah. What was your idea? I know, but I don't have much. You got to understand that about my ideas. You have lots of ideas. So then I have to have a higher standard for you.
Very often, when you ask me to elaborate on an idea, it does turn out that there's not a lot there.
Yeah, whereas sure.
Often when I ask you to elaborate on an idea,
that seems
there
like
is
there's not
a lot
there. I've
it
got
might
a
not
whole
make sense,
universe
but there is
attached
a lot
to it.
There. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, Braden, I hope that we didn't do you wrong.
Didn't do you dirty.
I hope we didn't do you dirty, Dave. Dayton. Didn't do you dirty, Dayton. All right, well, here's the sketch ideas for today. We got the progressive bigot. When's, what's this? When's rotten millennial?
when's
international non-binary day? It looks like rotten millennial non-binary day. I've written it. Then we got Cock Shadow on Laser Sun Planet.
I love these high concept ideas.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Then we got Psych Podcast Seinfeld App.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and then we have the rights of Seinfeld are released and everyone can't help but start doing it involuntarily. There's an LA leak.
I think the idea of like everybody's doing Seinfelds, maybe not in like a in that same toxic, contagious kind of way, but the idea that like doing a Seinfeld, right, becomes its own genre, almost like horror or fantasy or whatever. There's the Seinfeld genre.
You know, the one that doesn't feel like
you can go to small towns and you got to go to this town. They do the best Seinfeld there, right?
You know which genre doesn't feel like it belongs in the genres is the noir genre.
Yeah.
That feels like that's a Seinfeld thing. You mean just like it's like a detective movie and it's like it's not well lit? It's like it doesn't feel like it's a whole genre.
It seems like a lighting state at best.
Like a lot of the other ones are based around like an emotion.
Sure.
You know, like it's like, oh, comedy, drama.
Okay.
You know, and then horror. And then they go, a detective with like Venetian blind shadows on his face. Is that a full thing? Is that a,
that's a
full genre? No.
I think that's really funny.
All right. So wait, what's the other more episode that we got? Then we got Batch of Bad Art. Then we got Apology from the Gallery. Then we got Best Before Dates on Art. It's only fit to be exhibited to pigs.
The other thing about noir, oh, is there anything else to it? I guess a lot of women get slapped.
Oh, is that what happens? Yeah, they slap.
I feel like that happens a lot in noir.
Yeah, right.
You know? I still don't think that quite counts as a genre. This guy's a real alcoholic.
Yeah. Then we got roofying your parents so you can tell them something like that. They feel
important
stuff. Then we also got alternatives of this, which is accidental roofying before telling them something important, or your parents finding out that your parents roofied themselves when they knew that they were going to get told something, get blamed for something bad.
Yeah, just the idea that your parents, turns out your parents have been roofying themselves before every time they see you.
Yeah.
Every catch up.
Because we just think you're going to blame us because you're so fucked up.
Also, and we're kind of embarrassed by your behavior and you seem like a failure. We'd rather remember you as you were as a kid with all that potential.
Yeah, that's funny when you're, you know, because people often say that about somebody on their deathbed or when they've got dementia or something like that. But
yeah,
it's like as soon as you turned 18, we started roofing ourselves. We got Martin and Marge Roofy, who run the family business. Then we've got I'm Doing It Tough, I'm Having to Sleep in My Bugatti.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the...
Seems like a good rap, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's both a brag and a complaint. We got the aphid farmers, then we got the aphid milkers. And then we got the noir.
You be the judge.
Is not enough of a genre. It's not enough of a genre. So I think that's it, Andy. We did it.
You be the judge. Okay. Was that a bit of Rolf Harrising?
Oh, there? I don't really know Rolf Harris, but there's a possibility. Yeah, if he's doing the kind of the monkey breathing in and out
weird
sound.
Kind of breathing thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just in and out breathing whilst making sound.
I suppose that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think he could own that.
I wasn't doing any kind of illegal sex stuff.
Okay.
If that's what you were asking.
It wasn't, but it's good to know. All right. Thank you, everybody. Alistair, do you have anything to plug?
You know, you can check us out on Blue Sky.
Hey, I'm on Blue Sky. Matthews at Blue Sky Social.
Whoa. Well, I'm Alistair TB. And you can still find us on Instagram. We were on, I was on Threads for about a day and a half, and then I went, Jesus Christ. Do you think anybody's still on Threads?
I don't know, but I'm really optimistic about Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
I was about to post something on Blue Sky about, like, are we going to call these things skeets?
But yeah.
People are already doing that.
People have already mentioned skeets.
Yeah, and reskeet. It's already out there.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, that's fun.
I didn't get your say skeet, it.
Get your skeets out. Winter skeets, long.
But I haven't. I
cross country skeets.
Following like five people, and I haven't skeeted anything yet. I wanted to be really good. I want to have a good, consistent, high quality presence on this.
You know, it's a second chance. You get to start again.
It is. It's a do over. Yeah.
You know, you won't make the same mistakes you made on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's great, Andy.
God forbid. All right.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope you're well. Don't forget and that we're probably going to record the 400th episode on October 9th and 10th or 8th, 7th and
7th, 8th. I think. 7th. 7th and 8th. Yeah.
Okay, October 7th.
Yeah.
So look out for that. Free the day or the night, and depending on when.
Free the day.
Take care.
The day.
And
we
love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.